This is the last lesson for this semester. It's lesson 8 and our final lesson on the series of Beholding Jesus for the semester. And we have been using the Gospel of John as our text to learn about Jesus in the Scripture. And he has interacted with various characters in the Gospel of John, and we have seen through those characters the character of Christ. And as we have contemplated and meditated on those passages in the Gospel of John, we have put ourselves in the passages and become those characters. So not only with the Gospel writer, John the disciple, we learn that he leaned his head on Jesus' chest. So we learn that we can lean our head on Jesus' chest, that we are the beloved of God. And then with John the Baptist, we learned that he is our individual lamb, the one that was slain for our individual sins. When Jesus interacted with his first disciples, we learned that he calls us to that abiding relationship, and he wants to talk to us all throughout our day so that we can learn from him, just like those apprentices learned from Jesus in the early days of his ministry. We learned as he cleaned out the temple that God is very jealous for our hearts, and he will want to remove any idols that keep us from worship. And then we learned after that with Nicodemus that Jesus is a good teacher, that he's patient with questions, that he speaks the hard truth. He told Nicodemus, your good works aren't good enough, you need to be born again. And then with the woman at the well, we learned that Jesus pursues sinners, that he had a divine appointment, that was on his calendar that day, to come and meet the woman at the well and to connect with her and to offer her living water in that place where she is thirsty. So that is how we've been beholding Jesus in the Scriptures. And every week I begin my lesson and I say, we're learning to behold Jesus in the Bible, and we want to behold him in our everyday lives. And as we've started our idol search, that is part of beholding Jesus in your everyday life. And then when Debbie Woods came last week, what a perfect example of just intimate relationship with God, and how she just beholds Jesus all day long, watching a football game, going out to eat. She is embracing Jesus and interacting with him all day, and she's such an example to me in that, and I've learned so much from her over the years, as have many of us. But Debbie's testimony last week was about breakthrough, and I would like to define breakthrough as when God shows up to give us freedom in a place where we are consistently defeated, fearful, or stuck in the pit with negative emotions. I didn't run that by Debbie. So this might be the Martha Bailey definition of what it means in my life. Breakthrough is when God shows up to give us freedom in a place where we are consistently defeated, fearful, or stuck in the pit with negative emotions. And we have been quoting 2 Corinthians 3:18 a lot this semester. And it says, we all with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into his image from glory to glory. As we with unveiled face, and I think of unveiled face as no mask, as we are just like that bride who comes down the aisle and the veil is removed. When we approach Jesus with no mask, just like we are with our emotions, when we approach him that way, we look into his face, we behold him, we know how he is because of his word. We've studied how he interacted with the people of the Bible. We come to him with our face unveiled, our emotions unmasked, and we behold him, that he would interact with us the same way that he interacts with the woman at the well. And we are changed from glory to glory. And I think that glory to glory is breakthrough to breakthrough to breakthrough to breakthrough. When God shows up in your life and gives you freedom in an area where you've been defeated, glory comes to your life, and that is breakthrough. That's like when the Bible writers say, rend the heavens, Father, and come down. Well, Jesus did split the heavens and come down physically, but he will still now, because of his Spirit living in us, impact our lives and give us breakthrough in our stuck places. So Debbie testified about her stuck place of health And that when she surrendered it, and it was rather not with much thought that she surrendered it, which is sort of encouraging to me, that we can get a breakthrough when we're not really expecting it. And so she surrendered her health to the Lord and then slowly started seeing that she was reacting about her health in a more healthy way. She didn't have those feelings of guilt, condemnation, shame. And so as she didn't have those feelings, then she was able to go to the doctor and experience a healthier life. So as I was contemplating Debbie's design, and I've used this all week. Did y'all use these circles this week? I loved the circles. I talked to the girl in the hair chair about the circles. I said, you can put your issues in the circle and see what all is coming at you. And then you see why you don't want to pray about it, why you're stuck. When you see all that's coming at you, when you just bring up a simple issue. So I want to just start with a safe person who is the woman at the well. Because it's always safer to talk about somebody else's issues than your own. Okay, the woman at the well, her issue was that she was looking for the love of man. She was looking for men for approval. And I would say, I mean, this is, you know, of course I'm taking creative license here, but I say that she has, we know that she has shame, guilt. I would guess that she's probably mad at some of those ex-husbands and unforgiveness. She might have even acted in ways that were promiscuous. She, you know, just the idea of her reputation keeps her from coming to the well at a comfortable time of day. And after that many divorces, I don't know whether she rejected the men or they rejected her, but she's got some rejection. And then she seems like she still has hope. I mean, she somehow still believed in marriage up until the fifth time. Then she just moved in with the man. But I would think that maybe she is striving to please. And so Jesus, when he comes to the woman at the well, he sees all of that because he's omniscient. And he says, will you give me a drink? And she says, well, I don't have anything to draw from this well with. And he says, if you knew who it was speaking to you, if you knew the generosity, one version says, of who it is that is speaking to you, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. And what he sees is that she has a thirst here. She's thirsty, but she's filling up her thirst with something that was not meant to fill that. So Debbie, when she was doing her example, she crossed out health and wrote worth. So I would cross out for the woman at the well, it's not the love of man she's hungry for, but it's the love of God who will meet all of her needs. And so Jesus is saying, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water that will meet your love need so that you will never be thirsty again. You don't go to people to be satisfied for your love needs. And so then, I'm sure this was a process. It didn't actually seem like it was a really long process, did it, with the woman at the well? I mean, she was just like, seemed like she was instantaneously delivered because she went to the village and she was screaming and shouting and praising God for her deliverance right away. I don't think God promises that for all of us. I think breakthroughs are usually, we're going to see a process. I mean, if we can even just name what goes in the center, that would be really good, you know. But for the woman at the well, it is encouraging that God did this, you know, seemed to do it instantaneously. And I would say some of her victory was that she now felt that she was accepted. And I love this. I think she was known and loved anyway. Jesus told her everything that she ever did, and she felt accepted. She was forgiven. She was clean. She was a new creation. And she was the bride of Christ. So, for the woman at the well, you can see that God came in and he gave her his love for the love of man. And all of these things came with that. With the love of God came all of these things that would build her up and encourage her. So that's her victory party that brought her back to the village. So as I was thinking about the woman at the well, and I was contemplating some of my issues in my own life, I was looking at the circles. And I was asking the Lord, help me, I need some freedom, I need some breakthrough. And in comes my daughter, Copeland, and she says, well, Mom, what are you doing? And I said, well, my friend Debbie Woods just testified about breakthrough, and she gave us this chart. Why don't I try it out on you? And she said, because it's still easier to do it on somebody else than it is on myself. So she said, okay. So I said, well, what do you sense any negative emotion in your life? You know, she's about to graduate. And she said, yes, fear of the future. And so from the fear of the future, because she's about to graduate and doesn't really have a plan, she may pursue graduate school degree. She has a degree that needs a graduate degree, and yet she has, you know, she has some fear around that, and she also has fear of just getting a job with what her job would be, which is a speech pathology assistant, if she doesn't go to graduate school. So she has some fear of the future, like fear of rejection. You know, what if there's not a place for her in graduate school? What if there's not a place for her in a job? She, other people's expectations. And then I'll just say some of the other things. Accusation. She's felt a lot of mocking that maybe this she couldn't do it, that it was too hard. And then as she was looking over that list, this didn't come just now. I mean, I had the list of words. You know, I said, what do you feel about that? And she said, I don't know. And then she looked at the words, and she with such ease wrote down jealous. Now, we've done some work around jealous before in our family because, and she would say that her brother and sister have a really easier time in school than she does, so that comes up really easy for her. I mean, you know, jealous, and, you know, we want to encourage the amount of work that you put in, not ever the grade that you make on something. But so jealous came up for her. Anyway, so we prayed through, and we worked through that issue with her. But the minute she wrote down jealous, I think I had a breakthrough. And I told her when she left, I said, Copeland, you know, you said jealous with such ease. And I think in my grown-up self, that's such a bad word, you know, being jealous. And I think I have struggled with that in my life and try to call it something different and push it down and avoid situations where I would feel any kind of competition. Or less attention than someone else. And so as she said that, I was like, man, there is some freedom in just saying what it is. You know, there's some freedom calling an issue what it is. And I began to work on an issue in my life that has given me some pain, and it is, we have this family vacation that comes up once a year with my parents. And from probably the time that Ward and I first married, we would go on this family vacation. My parents were just lavishly, you know, spending every penny on them. Took my sister's family and my family on this family vacation. And my husband works alongside my parents. They have a real estate business. So part of his work is actually managing their property, and then he has some on his own. But over the years, he probably went on, I mean, if we went on 20 family vacations, I don't know how many we've done, probably 8 of them, 10 of them, with some begrudging, not really wanting to be there, in the sense that he spends a lot of time with my parents, so I can understand why he wouldn't want to go on a vacation with them. But so when he started voicing that, you know, maybe we won't go on, maybe I don't really want to go on the family vacation, then that was just like, ugh, because what it stirred up in me was everybody else's disappointment. It's like, oh my gosh, now you're going to ruin the party for everybody. And so I wear, for family vacation issue, huge fear of conflict. I mean, is that something you can really say no to? You know. And then the cover up. Now, why is it y'all don't want to go? And other people's emotions. I have one sister and a mom and a dad. So other people's emotions. My children, who, you know, loved it. And it hits a big button in me that's a left out button. Where my sister would go on the vacation, but then I wouldn't get to. Which triggered the jealous? That's when I saw jealous. So I'm like, well, you can't say that. So what do you say? So anyway, when once Copeland said jealous, I was like, that's what it is, God. And so that just saying that, I ask him, well, what kind of victory can I have there? Oh, another one was being in the middle, like feeling like you're in the middle between, you know, the people that want you to go and the people that don't want you to go. And my husband has said, you're fine to go, go, go. And I've gone sometimes without him. And, you know, so it's, you know, we've worked through it over the years. But it's just whenever they begin to talk about it, it's just sort of this feeling. So anyway, I asked the Lord, what kind of victory can I have here? And underneath the family vacation would be that I belong. And that I am special. So I'm accepted. I am God's and He is mine. And I think part of that would be, whose approval am I seeking? Because I have, you know, husband that doesn't really want to go, parents that really, you know, at first, I mean, they're over it now, but, or sort of. So I'm kind of in the middle. And so it's like, whose approval are you seeking? You know, it's that approval issue. So God gave me Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man? Yeah. Or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And 1 Kings 18:21. How long will you waver, Martha, between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. And if Baal is God, follow him. So I don't tell you all this to say, so if you have a struggle, you know, there's not an answer to this. The point is that I have to follow God on every time that issue comes up. And it's a point of tension in my insides, because it's that this side over here would love it if I went, this side over here, he's fine with me going, but he's not going, you know, so it's just that tension. So who am I trying to please? But I just need to every single time put it up to the Lord and say, I'm just giving you this. Do you tell me to go? Do you tell me to stay? And I want to follow you. And if your presence is not going with me, then I will not leave this place. So that's an issue that I'm still looking for more and more freedom. And but it really helped me to be able to put down here on the jealous and left out button. And one thing that Kathy, my mentor, told me this morning, that God is jealous for my heart. He's warring for my heart. And I have a place with him. And so that anytime that jealous button gets pushed, that I can just remember that God is warring for my heart. He's jealous for me. And he wants his place in my heart. And I have a special place with him. So as I was drawing all these arrows, I realized that this is like a battle. God's warring for our heart, and he's a victorious warrior. He will defeat every scheme of the enemy in my life. And as I believe him and hold up my shield of faith and pick up my sword of truth and actually join him in the battle, we will win. So I have, for your circles, I have made a little acrostic for you to think of in getting freedom. We want to fight, and we're going to call this like WW3, like World War II, but it's this will just help you. This will just help you when you start thinking of what is it that I want to do. And the F stands for feel. When you come to a place where you are experiencing negative emotions, feel those emotions. Don't run away. Debbie talked last night. I went to Race Runners to hear her talk, and she talked last night, and she said in the battle between David and Goliath, David ran to the battle. He ran to the battle. Don't run away from the battle. Sometimes we feel our emotions and we go shopping. We feel our emotions and we eat ice cream. We feel our emotions and we go to bed. So when you feel, when you have your emotional stirrups, ask the Lord, what is that about? What is it about? Feel the emotions. The other thing is that we have in Ephesians 6 the full armor of God to put on in the battle. We have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the shoes fit with the readiness of the gospel. So the full armor of God, and when we run toward the battle, we have our armor on. If we're going away from the battle, the only place that's not covered with the armor is your back. So if you're running away from your pain, you're very vulnerable to the enemy. This issue will not go away. He'll bring it up again and again and again until you deal with it with the Lord. So feel. The I stands for identify. Identify your issue. Identify the trigger. Identify the target that is on your back. These emotions are coming up usually in a set of circumstance where Satan knows it. He knows what's going to bring up those feelings in you. So when that circumstance comes up year after year, month after month, week after week, whatever it is with you, identify it. Give it a name. What is it that's pushing those emotional buttons? The G, just graph. Graph it out. Graph out the schemes of the enemy with your arrows. And H, help God. Cry out for help. God says for you to cry out to him and he will deliver you. The T stands for thank him. Even in the midst of the battle, we can thank him and give him praise. Praise is a weapon. In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat has three armies coming against him. He's the king of Israel. Three armies are coming against him, and he doesn't know what to do. He says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the Lord tells him, stand firm in your position and bring out the music makers, and they just praise and praise and praise, and the armies defeat one another. So praise is a weapon. So when you start to have negative emotions, turn on your praise music. Think of things to praise God for. Praise and worship him in the midst of the battle. Praise silences the enemy, Psalm 8:2. Praise God that he is the rescuer, that he is able, that he is willing. Thank him for all the times that he's rescued you before. Okay, so that's F-I-G-H-T. Then we have a pause, and then this pause, I want you to think of that as be still. Be still. Take time out. We are so busy. Busy is probably one of the thieves that Satan uses to still kill and destroy in our lives. So after you thank him, just be still. Get somewhere quiet. Get with your journal. Go outside. Get somewhere quiet between you and the Lord and ask him about what's going on with your emotions. Pray. Be still in that quiet place. And this W stands for wait for instructions and supplies. Kathy talked about the Rhema word. We can always pray battle verses that are always true. And on your homework sheet this week, which should be not really homework, but just an arsenal for you, I've written out some battle verses for you that these are always true. In my distress, I called out to the Lord. The battle is not yours, but God's. No weapon formed against you will prevail. Do not be afraid. You will see the deliverance of the Lord. By this I know that God is for me. These are battle verses that you can always know that God is on your side. But the instructions that you're waiting for is your specific rhema word from the Lord about this situation. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That word used there is the spoken word, which is the rhema word. A rhema word is a word that God speaks through the pages of Scripture into your life to help you deal specifically with Satan and the enemy in that circumstance. So like Kathy said, our prayer is that you would, you know, just read and read and read Scripture until God brings to light an exact word for you for your situation. So God will bring a word that is just tailored exactly for the situation that you need. I belong to God. That's a rhema word for there. I belong to God. And then wait for the Holy Spirit. We're going to wait for instructions. We'll wait for that rhema word. And the other thing you're waiting for is supplies. If you're in a battle, you're not going to go into battle until you have your instructions from your commander and you have your supplies. And your supplies are the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, stay in the city. Do not leave Jerusalem until you have received power from on high. So don't walk out in your own strength, in your own efforts, but wait for power from on high. And the next W is the weapons. In this battle, you have weapons. You have the whole armor of God. But the two that I want to highlight are you have your shield of faith. And your shield of faith is, I mean, the shields were like full body size. They're really big. And just pray that God will just grow your shield of faith. But in medieval times, when they did the shields were often wrapped up in strips of leather that had been soaked in water. And so the shields were wrapped and wrapped and wrapped with water-soaked leather. And so the shield was able to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. So when you hold up your shield of faith, it's been soaked in the promises of God's word. The promises of God's word. Think about the promises that he's given you. And those don't have to be rhema words. Those are just these battle promises that he's for you, that he will deliver you, that he's your refuge, that you have his armor, that you can demolish strongholds. And you have those promises around your shield of faith. So you're going to hold it up and you're going to stand firm. And then your sword is your rhema word that he gives you to fight that specific battle. And I would say store up some rhema words for each issue that you have, that the Lord would give you lots and lots of swords to fight the enemy with. So Kathy began this series on Beholding Jesus, and her lesson was entitled Love, Light, and Liberty. And she told us that God is love, that God is light, and God brings liberty. First, God is love. His love for us is unconditional, unhesitant, and unfailing. He loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins so that we could live with him now and forever. And then she also told us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And light are those rhema words, those true things that he speaks to us. God is light. He sends light into the darkness. He sends truth. He always speaks the true thing, even if it's hard. God is light. And the last thing is that God gives us liberty. And I know that sometimes it's hard to look at your core issues. It's hard to even write them down. It's really hard to get up in front of a room and say them. No, but, and believe me, I have lots of issues that I wouldn't get up here and say. So, but God wants you to take those issues and admit them to him. Put them in the circle. Write them down. Bring them to him because he knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking. And he wants to take that issue and change it into a love statement to you, to change it into a statement of truth about who he is. And Psalm 51:6 says, God desires truth in our inmost being. And so what God wants is for your issue not to be the focal point, but he wants his truth to overcome the issues that come up in your life. So God wants that truth in your inmost being. And when you know the truth will set you free. And when we're free, just like the woman at the well, to be filled with the love of God and then to go out and to love other people. So I'm just going to pray for all of y'all and me to continue to have a season of breakthrough where we are just willing to come before the Lord, take those emotions before him, not run away from him, to run toward him in battle, and to gather up our shield of faith and to ask him for verses of truth that we can fight the enemy with in our life, and he will bring freedom. The battle is the Lord's, and it's a battle for your heart, and he wants intimate connection with you, and he wants you to have freedom on some of these places where you're stuck. So if you will, you can write your one thing.